This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Tuesday's headlines. And once again, the biggest event here in Washington on Tuesday, the Nuclear Summit hosted by President Obama and featuring world leaders from around the globe. In his introductory comments on Tuesday morning, President Obama says these weapons arose during the Cold War, but he says the danger they pose is even greater, even though the Cold War is over.
2 decades after the end of the Cold War, we face a cruel irony of history. The risk of a nuclear confrontation between nations has gone down, but the risk of nuclear attack has gone up. Nuclear materials that could be sold or stolen and fashioned into a nuclear weapon exist in dozens of nations. Just the smallest amount of plutonium, about the size of an apple, could kill and injure hundreds of thousands of innocent people.
And because of that, Obama says every nation represented at the summit and around the world needs to make sure that they do everything necessary to secure nuclear materials.
We have the opportunity as individual nations to take specific and concrete actions to secure the nuclear materials in our countries and to prevent illicit trafficking and smuggling.
By the end of the day, the president said there had been historic progress made on nuclear issues, both securing what's known as loose nukes, as well as reducing stockpiles of existing nuclear material. However, virtually all of the agreements made on Tuesday are non-binding, meaning the efforts will be voluntary and are unlikely to be enforced in any significant way. One of the other issues, of course, that came up at the summit, even though the country was not represented there, is the nuclear situation in Iran, as that country, according to Defense Secretary Robert Gates, is now just about a year away from a deployable nuclear weapon. According to President Obama, he and Chinese President Hu Jintao over the past couple of days have made progress towards a framework of imposing additional sanctions on Iran for its refusal to comply with international inspections and to back down from its nuclear program. However, as time has gone on over the past couple of days, it's unclear exactly as to what China is willing to agree to. In my conversation earlier today with retired U.S. Army General Paul Vallely, he says don't expect China to do anything substantial because it's not in their economic or national security interest to do anything to clamp down on the Iranian nuclear program. Vallely also disputes the timetable, saying that the Iranians could have a deployable weapon much sooner than a year from now. To hear my full conversation with the general, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. On the domestic front today, another battle, another win for the Democrats in the U.S. Senate over the extension of unemployment benefits. The issue, the same as last month when you remember that Kentucky Senator Jim Bunning basically conducted a one-man filibuster, demanding that if the benefits are extended, which he actually supported, that they be offset with spending cuts elsewhere in the government. Once again, the Democrats said that this was too vital to worry about offsetting with additional spending cuts, and so they cleared a key procedural hurdle on a vote of 60 to 34. They needed some Republican help to do that, and they got it. The four Republican senators that voted along with the Democrats are the two from Maine, Susan Collins and Olympia Snowe, Massachusetts Republican Scott Brown, and Ohio Senator George Voinovich. Republicans have claimed that they are, in fact, in favor of extending those unemployment benefits, but they want the Democrats to abide by their own pay-as-you-go rules and find ways to pay for it, whether it's out of the stimulus plan or some other measure of spending cuts. For further analysis on this issue, please check out my interview with James Shirk of the Heritage Foundation. Again, worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org. The healthcare vote was nearly a month ago now, but the ramifications are still being felt and probably will be now for some time. Critics of the president's plan now have two more arrows in their quiver to point out that there could be some serious problems with the healthcare system as a result of this bill in the years ahead. In one study, according to the Association of American Medical Colleges, we could be looking at a shortage of 150,000 doctors in just 15 years. In another study from the Physician Hospitals of America, they say the new components of the legislation will force them to scrap the construction of some 60 physician hospitals around the country. Meanwhile, congressional Republicans are trying to repeal and replace, or swap is the new lingo, according to South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson. He says that the bill, which stands for Siding with America's Patients, would slash out what he considers onerous tax increases and additional regulation. He says some of the provisions would stay, including coverage for those with pre-existing conditions and not being able to be dumped off your coverage once you finally get sick. but he says it's time for a market-based approach with patients able to shop across state lines for the best policy. That interview with Congressman Wilson, again, worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org. And while you're there, you can check out my interview with Bruce O'Donohue. He's one of the leading Republican contenders in Florida's 8th Congressional District. That's the seat held by Democrat Alan Grayson, who's a freshman and became very famous nationwide a few months ago for this comment during the healthcare debate.
If you get sick in America, this is what the Republicans want you to do. If you get sick, America, the Republican healthcare plan is this. Die quickly. That's right. The Republicans want you to die quickly if you get sick.
That's a look at Tuesday's headlines. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.